a great revival meeting and 3 days of wonderful blessings and fellowship. And I think what really set the tone for that meeting was the dinner every night where we could get together and just talk and fellowship and have a good time and then come into the house of God and hear the preaching. But you know, even though that's true, you still here this morning have adversity. You have struggles that you're going through. In fact, since the revival meeting already, I have talked to a number of folks who are saying to me, "Preacher, I don't know what to do. I don't know exactly which way to go. The devil is really trying me and tempting me, and I have so much trouble, or I have adversity going on." Well, this morning I want to preach to you about that thought, adversity, burden, or bridge. Roman numeral 1, would you write this down, please? Many people are facing adversity today. Even though we were thrilled and happy and things went well and we felt so good and we sang so well and the evangelistic choir and all of us did such a good job, we still have adversity. They may be dealing with financial difficulties or sufferings because of perhaps rebellion of children. Perhaps you're hurting because of emotional things, because of maybe a personal betrayal. Or you're hurting because of some physical problem due to health issues. Adversity comes in a variety of different forms. But one thing we know, it will come to each one of us in our lives sooner or later. Now, you may not have any adversity going on today, and that's wonderful, and thank God for that. But there are folks sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, right here in this auditorium, who are facing adversity and trouble, and they're hurting, and they need God to help, and they need God to answer. It just might be a physical thing. It might be a betrayal of a personal friend. It might be hurting emotionally. It might be a rebellious child. It might be money. But something's happening. Preacher, I need some help. Some people crumble, as you know, under the pressure of adversity. They become even bitter. Some even become resentful because of the adversity or the trouble that they're in. They become bitter many times at God. Sometimes they become resentful at God. And you'll talk to folks who will say to you as you talk to them about coming to the house of God or coming to church or being a Christian, "No, I don't want anything to do with that hypocritical bunch of people. I want nothing to do with that." You no doubt have seen on the news, maybe you did not, I don't know how many of you did, maybe you can verify this, that the IFB, Independent Fundamental Baptists, have been really now had charges brought against them. A church had sexual problems in their church and the pastor, and nobody did anything about it. And girls have now said she was pregnant by somebody in the local church, and nobody did anything about it. Anybody see that report on the news? It startled you, made my wife so upset. She said, "Honey, that is so ridiculous." But listen, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't make any difference if you're a Catholic or a Presbyterian or an Independent Fundamental Baptist or a Pentecostal. Those kinds of sins go on in every single denomination. They happen in every single factory. It's called real life. And ladies and gentlemen, nobody is exempted from that. And everybody faces adversity. And everybody faces trials. And everybody faces difficulties. How in the world do we make it through those times? Many people are facing adversity today. Some crumble. Some get bitter. "Oh, I will never go back to that church. Oh, I will never hear him preach again. Oh, I don't want anything to do with those Christian people." That article on the news the other night, I'm sure, is making lots of people talk about Independent Fundamental Baptist people, how awful they are, how they hide sin, how they're so ridiculous, saying they believe in God, and look at all the sin that's in their camp. I'm sure of it. We get angry at God. Angry at churches. Some folks might even resort to addictive kind of behaviors to try to escape the pain that they face. Others face similar adversities, but have a totally different reaction. Instead of weakening from difficulties, it makes them stronger because these believers learn to depend more fully on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Adversity can either be an overwhelming burden, or it can be a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. Now, let me say it one more time. I've had these types of things in my life, and it will either make a heavy burden for you and nearly destroy you, or it can become a bridge to an intimate relationship with Almighty God. It depends on how you respond to the adversity. Now, I'm telling you, everybody's going to face adversity. Everybody's going to face trials. Everybody's going to face the nastiness of some person in your life. And you can either respond to that and make it a heavy burden and fall apart and get bitter at God and get bitter at churches and get bitter at preachers or get bitter at other Christians. Or you can say, bless God, that adversity is not going to do that to me. I am going to make it a bridge where I'm going to cross over and become more intimate with my God and love my God more, and love His Word more than I ever have before. Do not allow adversity to make you bitter. Roman numeral number 2, burden or bridge. No one wants to experience tough times. I don't know anybody who says, yeah, I'll volunteer for tough times. I don't want tough times. How about you? I would like everything to run along smoothly and everybody like everybody, everybody love everybody, and nobody have any problems at all. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, that would be so nice. And everybody have all the money they ever want. And have all the food you ever want. And have the nicest of niceties. Wouldn't that be nice? But life's not like that. I'm telling you, life is not like that. Life has difficulties. Burden or bridge. When they come our way, these tough times, we have a choice. And I heard Brother McNeese talk about that in his message, about a choice. Everybody has a choice. I want you to know that when adversity comes or trial comes or difficulties come, you have a choice about how to view them. Now, you can have a choice that you're going to view that burden, that adversity as a burden, or you're going to view that adversity as a bridge, a burden. Spiritually speaking, there's a heaviness or a weight that depresses us. We may feel very weary or discouraged, without joy, without peace. A bridge, in contrast, is a way to rise above the difficulty and develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with Almighty God. Now, I'm either going to have this adversity cause me to have a heavy burden, or it's going to create in me a bridge in my life. Two verses are the foundation of this bridge to greater intimacy with the Lord. The first is Psalm 103. Would you get your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 103? Now, a bridge is a way to rise above the difficulty and develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Now, these two verses I'm going to use are the foundation of this bridge. That bridge is going to get us to greater intimacy with the Lord. The Lord hath prepared His throne. It says in Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. I want you to look at that verse. It's a powerful verse. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. You know what that's talking about? In other words, God is in control of everything. Do you understand? That's what that's talking about. God is in control of everything in your life. Everything that happens to us, God is in control. I want you to look at the next verse. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. There it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When those two verses are correctly interpreted, they literally become a bridge that allows us to overcome the adversities in our life. The Lord has established His throne. Our Lord sovereignly rules this universe. God knows everything that happens. He's in control of everything. And then it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Roman numeral 3. Adversity as a bridge in the life of Paul. I want us to look for a few moments, and it won't take me long, at the adversity as a bridge in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, if we're going to learn anything from Scripture, we have to find some idea of how that this adversity works, and then is it going to weigh us down? Is it going to burden us down? Is it going to press us down to the fact that we want to quit, leave the things of God, become bitter, become resentful? Or are we going to use this adversity as a bridge to get across all that chasm of trouble and get across and go over to intimacy with Almighty God? I want you to know that I think everybody here ought to have a desire, and I believe you do, because you are in the house of God wanting to learn more about God. I believe you would like to have this bridge that would go over the chasm of all this trouble and all this adversity and get intimate with Almighty God and love Him more tomorrow than you did today. Is that right? I believe that's what you're here for. You want to learn how I can grow closer to God, how I can be better for the Lord Jesus. Adversity as a bridge. Now, Paul's life is one of the best biblical examples of how adversity can be a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. The apostle wrote the majority of the New Testament. Without the supernatural revelation that the Lord gave him, however, we would have far less insight into how to live the day-to-day Christian life. But his closeness to the Father came only as a result of severe personal loss and hardship. Now, you got to remember about the Apostle Paul. I honor the Apostle Paul, but as I look at the Apostle Paul and I think about how he taught us the very Word of God, I remember some things about him, how that he had great personal loss just to get close to God. But he wanted to be close to God, and he wanted God to use him more than anything else in his life, but yet he had great personal loss. Now, follow me, please, to a verse of Scripture found in, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. What did he say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8? Now, remember, this is so important. Without that supernatural revelation that the Lord gave him, we would have far less insight to how to live this day after day Christian life. But his closeness to the Father came only as a result. Now, get this. Of severe personal loss and hardship. Here's what he wrote. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen, that's what he said. I have suffered the loss of all things. Do you see it? And do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, we read about the Apostle Paul, and we think, wow, what a great man. But you got to remember something, folks. He didn't have a life hunky-dunky. He didn't have everything in the palace. He wasn't the guy who had everything working right for him. He suffered, his own word said, he suffered the loss of all things. At great personal loss, he became the man of God. At great personal loss. Now, sometimes that doesn't fit with our theology about God. Somehow, especially the prosperity kind of preachers that we have in our day, you know, if you're not driving the best car and having the best house and making $200,000 a year, you're not blessed of God. Something's wrong with your life. That's not so. That's not even real life, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle Paul suffered all things. Don't you remember about Jesus, our wonderful Lord? He had nowhere to lay his head. Come on, amen. Sometimes we get ourselves all messed up because we're thinking how much we need because we're saved and because we're Christians. We ought to have everything working out for us. Listen, even our Lord and Savior had nowhere to lay his head. And the Apostle Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things in my life. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you and I would lose everything, we would wonder if there was a God. Come on, seriously now. If we lost our job and lost our homes and lost our... But the Apostle Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things. Make sure you see that phrase. And then he said, and do count them but dung. That's manure. For the cause of Christ. I think we need to understand how adversity can be a bridge. Now, through hardship and difficulty, I'm going to give you a number of things. I have them on the screen. If you have time to write them down, there's a number of them. I want you to write them down. Things that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Now, you already say to me, don't you like the writings of the Apostle Paul? I mean, boy, all those books that he wrote. But got to remember, God gave him the word to write. Every word is given to us from God through man to man. Anointed by God. Inspired by God. All scripture is given to us by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now listen, the Apostle Paul, through hardship and difficulty, learned some things. Number one, write this one down. He could experience contentment in the midst of adversity. He could experience contentment. He had contentment in the midst of adversity. One of the things I think we need, I need, you need, more than anything else, is to be content in the midst of adversity. Now, some of you right now are no doubt facing some kind of adversity. I don't know what it is, but I'll guarantee you, in this crowd this size, somebody's facing adversity. Something's going on, some kind of trouble's happening, and I'll tell you right now, what I need more than anything else is I need contentment in the midst of adversity. And Paul learned to have contentment in the midst of adversity. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We must now go to verse 11, 12, and 13. Now here's what he explained. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now look what he said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be. What's the word? Content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wow. Number two, God would give him supernatural strength in his weakness. He learned that. That God could give him supernatural strength in his weakness. He explained that his weakness allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work through his life. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look on the screen if you can't follow it quickly enough in your Bible, verse 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, now watch this, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Boy, we need to learn how the Apostle Paul did this, don't we? God would give him supernatural strength in his time of weakness. Listen, when you're going through an adversity or trouble or trial, look for God's strength in your time of weakness. God promised he would give you strength in your time of weakness. It might be right now some physical thing you're going through. It just could be some financial thing you're going through. It could be some interpersonal relationship with somebody that you're just so disgusted with or you've been so hurt by. Listen, God can give you strength. That adversity is upon you. I understand that. And we're not throwing that to the wind, but we have to learn how to conquer that through God. Number three, letter C, the Lord was the source of all of his needs. He learned that the Lord was the source of all of his needs. Now, where did he get that? He wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, what's this say? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, hold it a second. Who is this that's talking? It's the Apostle Paul who lost all things for the excellency of Christ. Wow. You mean God may reduce me? He may. He may not. But what's really important to us? Can we say, I've got adversity, I'm going to burn up? Preacher, I've got such a heavy burden, I'm going to fall apart? Or can I use that adversity? Now, God knows your life, and it's not going to be adversity forever. Stay true to God. Somehow, somewhere, God is going to build this bridge to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the chasm of all the difficulty will be underneath you as the bridge goes across. And you'll find victory Take hope this morning in this message. Listen, I'm in suffering right now, preacher. I'm in adversity. So something in my family is all messed up, or something in our finances is all messed up. My health is all messed up. Oh, my goodness, preacher, my family's all messed up. Listen, go to God. Let adversity drive you to your knees and get that bridge to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But remember the Apostle Paul, who lost everything. And don't you for one minute believe those prosperity preachers who tell you if you start losing everything, you must not be right with God. Just remember that your Savior had nowhere to lay his head. He had no place to be buried. He had to actually be buried in a borrowed tomb. And just remember the Apostle Paul lost it all. So if you start losing and God starts dealing with you and allows you to go through some adversity or difficulty, you just stay true to God. Lift your head high. Keep coming to church and say, no matter what, I'm serving the Lord. And build you a bridge. Letter D. He learned to trust in the Lord's faithfulness. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He could trust in the Lord's faithfulness. God's faithful, folks. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hey, everybody, I need to have about 10 or 12 amens right there. Let me say it again. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. God's going to meet you. He's faithful. Now, I know when you're going through the adversity, it doesn't seem like he is. Isn't that true? I'm going through the trial. It doesn't seem like God's faithful. But the scripture here tells me God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God promises in his book that you will be able to bear it. No one else around you may think you are going to be able to, but you're going to be able to bear it according to the word of God. You can bear it. Build your bridge. Don't be so burdened down and heavy. I'm just going to quit. Nothing's working in my life. I'm done. I can't handle it anymore, preacher. I'm wiped out. I can't do it any longer. Don't do it that way. Build your bridge. You know, Paul had learned to depend on the Lord to carry him through any trial. The next letter, the father valued his service more than his desire. The father valued his service more than his desires. I want you to understand that. It's found in Psalm 37, verse 4. Although scripture promises that the Lord delights in giving us the desires of our hearts, remember that? Delight thyself also in the Lord. A lot of people use this verse. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And that's true. And that's in the Bible. And that's true. And God said, if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now that's true. But he will prioritize our character development over our comfort. God is not as concerned about our comfort as he is our character development. Now, I think we need to understand that. Now, we're concerned about our comfort, but God's concerned about your character development. So he is going to allow things to come into your life that's going to develop your character. He does not allow things to come into your life that's going to destroy you. Now listen, I know some of us have been pretty low. And RU deals with people all the time who are really low and have literally thrown their lives away. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, if there's still life, if there's still breath, there's still hope for something better tomorrow. Listen, you cannot say, but my life's a shambles, and I blew it all, and I've been in drugs and alcohol and permissive sex, and preacher, I've blown my life. No, there's still a God who loves you and gave himself for you. That's what salvation is all about. And someday you'll come back and say, even though I had drugs and alcohol and permissive sex life, God has now touched my life, and I am somebody for God. God wants to change you. That's what he's all about. Yes, sir. That's what this church needs to keep preaching. God does want to change you. He wants to make a difference. So build your bridge to intimacy with God. Now listen, every one of us in this room have failed. Now some of us may not have gone deep into drugs or alcohol or permissive sex. Maybe that's true. But we've all done things just as bad. You know why? Because sin. And none of us is any better than anybody else. And it's not right for me to have you stand up here and tell all the junk you went into. I could care less what you used to be. I care what you are today. You say, well, preacher, but I'm afraid somebody might find out my past. So what? Your past is buried. When you come to God, your past is buried as far as God is concerned. Don't listen to those long-tongued hessies that talk about your past. Forget that. We'll pray for their tongue foot by foot on the altar. But we don't need to worry about those people at all. God has forgiven you. That's all that counts. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, maybe you were a skunk. Maybe you were a rascal. Now that you've come to God, that's all I care about. And that's all that God cares about. And listen, boy, I get to preaching here. I get all excited. You know, some of us were skunks and rascals, but we just didn't get caught. Come on, amen. Now, many of you got caught, but some of us sit here sometimes as righteous Pharisees, and we're just as guilty as anybody else. But we just didn't get caught. Nobody found us out. Aren't you glad that grace and the blood covers it all? We're all a bunch of scallywags. None of us deserve anything but hell. None of us, not a single one of us deserve anything but the fire of hell. But thank God for His grace. Thank God for the blood. Oh, the blood that cleanses from sin. Listen, there's no sense in us trying to see who's the worst sinner in this place. I get no pleasure out of hearing past stories of how bad you were. I want to know what you are today. Tell me what you are now. Tell me what God's doing for you now. Tell me the grace of God that's come in your life. Man, what a joy that is, amen. The Father valued His service more than His desires. Get that down in your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Instead of satisfying Paul's natural inclination towards comfort and ease, guess what God did? God sent adversity to prepare him for greater service. Wow. Unless I should be exalted above measure. There it is. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I want you to understand that verse. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Paul had abundance of revelation that God had given him. And he said, so I wouldn't think highly, too highly of myself through all these things that God did through me. God sent something to me to make me suffer, to keep me humble. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, God did something to me to keep me humble. If that happens to us today, we feel like God disappointed us, and so oftentimes we get mad at God. But Paul said, I know what God's doing. He's going to keep me humble. And I want to be humble. The next letter, even in his adversity, God would strengthen his message. Even in adversity, God would strengthen his message. Because Paul was imprisoned, the entire Praetorian Guard heard the gospel. That Praetorian Guard probably would never have heard the gospel if he'd never gotten in prison. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. You see, actually in that prison, he was able to preach to Praetorian guards that would probably never have heard the gospel preached anyplace else. Listen, God puts you in a position, and you get in the hospital, or you get in the jail, or you get wherever, and you say, think to yourself, why, God, you put me here? Look around. See whom God's trying to talk to. Let him use your life to talk to somebody. I know David Estep has told me time and time again, he's talked to those people. Right, Dave? Where he goes for dialysis. They know he's a Christian. He tells them all the time he's saved, born again, leads them to the Lord, tries to talk to them about being saved. He uses that time Somebody could say, why did God allow me to go through dialysis? Go through it and let God use your life for greater things. Take the bridge. We're not all the same, folks. God's got us placed in different places for different reasons to talk to different people about the Lord Jesus. But you must understand the whole idea is talking about the Lord Jesus. That's it. When Brother Mott was in the hospital, what did he do? Talk to the nurse about God. Come on, amen. My wife's in the hospital, what did we do? Talked about God. That little nurse that took care of my wife, her name was Nancy. And she was poking my wife. My wife didn't like that so much. You know, those needles in your arm, you put that stuff. I can't stand that either. I can't stand to watch it. I'd always turn away. I can't stand that poking stuff. And my wife's going, ooh, 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 ooh. You sure you got it in there? Jack wasn't doing it that night. Somebody else was. And, ooh. And my wife said, I don't think she got in there right. Honey, honey, I don't think she got in there right. Like I'm supposed to know how. She said, looks right to me. But it hurts, it hurts. But we started talking to that lady, and that lady said, oh, you're Pastor Lewis? I listen to WHVT all the time. I listen to it all the time. I love that radio station, she said. Now, God put us there for a reason, to maybe encourage that little nurse. Okay, it was adversity, it was trouble, but use the time for talking about the Lord. You see, even adversity, God would strengthen his message. The more adversity we face, the more effective our message will be to others. We have our greatest impact when people watch us go through pain and suffering. That's when people really watch us. When everything's running smooth, everybody thinks we ought to be smooth. But when you go through a problem, you go through a bad pregnancy, or you go through bad physical times, how are we responding and what are people watching? The next number or letter. To see everything as coming from God. He learned that I've got to see everything coming from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 talks about that again. Everything comes from God. One of the most important lessons God has taught me as a man is to recognize that he uses everything, even the wrong things of others, for his purpose in my life. Now listen, you've got to understand this. God will use even the wrong things that people do to be used in your life to make you a better person. There will be people do you wrong. There's no doubt about that. There will be people say things that's not true about you, and that will be so. But God's using that to make you grow closer to him and cross that bridge and don't get all burdened down with that burden of adversity. Let adversity be a bridge to intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Just a couple more and I'll be finished. More about the ways of the Lord. To see everything as coming from God, and more about the ways of the Lord. He learned more. Suffering often is the stimulus to greater closeness with God. We draw near to him for relief from pain. You know, when you go through trouble and heartache, the very first part of that trouble, heartache, you find yourself drawing closer to God. Now, don't you? How many of you have been close to death a time or two in your life? Can I see your hand? Now, look at those people who've been close to death. And I'll tell you, if they were saved, born-again people at that time, they wanted somebody to pray with them, and they wanted to know what it was like to know God, to really know God. Adversity prepared him to comfort others. Adversity always prepares you to comfort others more effectively. God uses our suffering to prepare us to minister to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. I think we are best equipped to comfort others if we have been through something similar ourselves. You know, it's really hard. Now, I'm a pastor of a church, and I love preaching, but I'm going to be very honest with you. It is very difficult for me to talk about drug addiction, because I've never been there. I've never been there. Now, in the RU ministry, when Steve Currington started that ministry, he knew what he was talking about because he had been there. And he has been very effective in that ministry because he's been there. I don't know what that drug addiction is like. I've never been there. Some of you, though, can be planted in my church to help others who know about how they struggle with drug addiction because you one time struggled with drug addiction. Don't hide that fact. Just say to somebody, I can help you. I came through it. I understand that. I can help you. And God can use you for that. He can. I want you to look at a verse of Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians, well, again, chapter 12, verse 7. We've already seen it two or three times. Again, to keep us humble. He has a specific purpose for adversity. Paul had a particular function. That thorn in his body had a particular function. It was designed to keep him what? Humble. And it was designed to keep him dependent upon God. So God had a specific purpose for his adversity. It was to keep him humble. It was to keep him dependent upon God. Despite the astounding spiritual revelations he had been given, God was going to keep him humble. And the last thing, Paul learned to rejoice in the midst of adversity. Philippians 4:4. Now, is it easy to rejoice in adversity? Ooh, I'm sick. I'm rejoicing. I'm thanking God I'm sick. I just lost everything. Boy, I'm thanking God I just lost everything. It's hard to rejoice, isn't it? It is. We all know that it is. It's tough. You lose a loved one. You lose an intimate friend. You lose your bank account. It's tough. What's Philippians 4:4 say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You know, most likely you are experiencing today some degree of adversity. You can try to handle it using your own resources, like turning to other friends or doing the best you can or escaping into a hobby. Or maybe you might even try to escape by an addiction. But I can guarantee you that when it comes to life-changing hardship, such coping mechanisms don't work. Your adversity will become an overwhelming burden. You can't do it that way. You cannot. When these experiences come, you cannot just turn to friends for advice. You can't just, well, I'm going to do my best to get through it. That won't work. Well, I'm going to escape by having a hobby. I think, man, I'm glad that fishing season's coming back. I'm just going to forget all my trouble. I'm going to go fishing. Well, they'll still be there. And adversity will still be there. I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to go play some golf. I'm going to have a diversion. They'll still be there. Well, I think I'll pick up drinking. I think I'll take a little dope. Maybe that'll help me. You'll still be there. You'll find all those things will fail. I pray that you will choose to see adversity as a bridge. A bridge to a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus. A bridge. If you are a believer, the awesome power of the Holy Spirit is available to you, to equip you, to transform you, to carry you through any suffering. You already know that. I'm going through an adversity, preacher. I'm going through a tough time. Get to the Holy Spirit of God. Get to an altar of prayer. If you have to come every day, fine, come. Let that adversity be a bridge that takes you to an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Ladies are coming, and I'm closing. You see, through pain and hardship, God demonstrates how much we need Him. Do you realize this morning that you need God? Look at me, everybody. Do you realize this morning you need God? We cannot stay away from God. We need God. Now, it's going to be such that some of us in this building this morning, their life is just flowing just fine. But there will come adversity. There will come times. Are we ready to come to God and let it be a bridge? Or are we going to be so burdened down that we're so depressed we don't know what to do with our lives? Let's come to God today. Let's stand together, shall we? The bridge of adversity can take you to a place of indescribable intimacy with God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ.